have been familiar with before. But I would like to use this scripture tonight for the text for this message on the first night of this meeting. First of all, let me tell you before I preach this message that in the camp meeting at Brother McCool's church in Knoxville, Tennessee, on the second evening when we were there, we were staying at the motel, and the Lord began to deal with my soul, my very soul. And I said, Lord, as most ministers realize that sometimes you will proceed with a message that you're quite familiar with, especially on a number of occasions. Sometimes we have our little notes, and I have some, of course, that I keep the scripture reference on. And I said, Lord Jesus, we have come to an age when we need fresh bread from heaven. And I looked over at the briefcase that I had, and I thought within myself, there is a lot of stale bread in there. One time it was fresh, but now it's stale. And the brethren know what I'm talking about, that the preacher. And I said to myself, Lord Jesus, you must come down and touch this place with your spirit. Otherwise, we will go through the mechanics of a service. We'll be wound up like a robot, and we will walk this way and turn this way and turn that way until the spring winds down and it'll all be over. And I said to the Lord when I was praying and I was seeking Him, I was trusting that He would move in that great meeting. And I asked Him to move, and He began, just seems like the Spirit of the Lord began, so to speak, to wave the drapes on the wall in that room. And I called over to the church, and I said, they were having a service through the daytime, and I said, please ask Sister Sizemore to stay over there a little while, because I feel like that I'm in touch with heaven. And I was seeking the Lord, and I was praying, and I was asking Him to move mightily in the message so the church could be stirred, and the young people that was gathered there also could be stirred. These thoughts occurred to me while I was there in that room. I related them to that service that night down there, and I feel very strongly tonight of relating this to you again this evening from the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. Praise the Lord. I'm glad tonight for Pentecost. I'm glad for the precious name of Jesus. I'm glad for the revelation of the oneness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But I want you to know tonight in this scripture that I will read from the 17th chapter of the book of Numbers, the Bible says these words, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers. For of all of the princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name, and notice this scripture now as we read it. Thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's house, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rod before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and blossoms, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. Now, keeping this in mind, that the rod was like the shepherd's staff. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with what I'm speaking of. But there seemed to be a serious problem had previously arisen among these people. There was quite a bit of murmuring and complaining, and especially from Korah and the household of Korah. And the Lord began to deal with them and said, now, it's going to be necessary that we decide which one's going to lead this people through the country. It's going to be necessary, so therefore, in his work, he took them and said, here's the way we're going to determine this. We're going to let each one that represents each of these 12 tribes bring a rod into my hand, and we're going to place it in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the man's rod that will bud, the man's rod that will bud is going to be chosen to be the one to be the leader, because the Lord simply reached down his hand and in the case of Korah, opened and cleaved the earth asunder and let them all sink inside and smoothed it back over again. Because you see, he always has a way to deal with the opposers of truth. He always has a way to deal with those that would oppose the divine way that God would have. Now then, can you this evening picture with me that what Moses said in verse 9, Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord of the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quiet take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Now the point I want you to notice here is the symbolizing of this great move of the Lord to help them understand exactly who was going to be in charge. In verse 5, as I have told you, verse 4, you'll notice in the series that I've read that Aaron's name was supposed to be upon the rod of Levi, that his name was placed there. Now, I want you to look with me tonight at that scene. As we could gather before the tabernacle of the congregation and watch them observe the scene, as during the night time, that night, by the way, this message, I'm calling this message tonight, the rod is budding again. Keep that in mind now. The rod is budding again. Can you imagine as if all of us could gather before that congregation of people and see that great host of people waiting to see what went on during the night time? For during the night time, they had laid 12 rods right in before the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And only one of them began to move or wiggle a little bit during the night. And all of a sudden, as it began to blossom, began to move. Can you imagine the picture? All the rest of them laid there. There was the deadness that was laying right there among them. Because Korah had come to such an uprising and saying to the people, we're going to lead. And others said, we're going to lead. And others said, we're going to be in charge. But God said, let me choose who's going to lead and who's going to be in charge of the people. Don't you know that must have been a peculiar scene, that during the night time that rod of Aaron began to wiggle a little bit and began to move, and all of a sudden the blossom sprung out on it. And then all of a sudden, after that, here comes some fruit, an almond. Here come an almond, and there it was, all in its beauty and its glory, and the rest of them laid there completely dead. Now, he had to come out the next morning and show them what went on during the night. He had to come out and show them exactly what went on during the night. And when he did that, let me take this in my hand. When he did that, I want you to notice something. I feel like preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. When he did that, things began to happen. He came out with the rods. And I want you to picture those people that had to go home. I saw a stick over here a while ago. Is there one? Yes, there's one right there. Let me have that. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine? And when they had to come up and they thought they were going to get to be the ones to lead the people. They thought they were going to get to be the ones, and they put their rod and laid it in there, but there was no activity on that rod during the night time. It just seemed to lay there dormant. Can you imagine Moses coming up to him and saying, well, I'm sorry, sir, your rod didn't bud last night, and you just have to take it home, and you're left out of leadership. You're completely left out. This rod didn't bud. It just didn't bring forth any fruit whatsoever. Can you imagine also him coming over to another tribe or a group and bringing it down here and say, I'm sorry, no activity last night. There was nothing happening to the rod. Nothing transpired last night. Amen. What a sad scene that must have been when they went home with the fact there was deadness in that rod. There was no life in it. And God had chosen this.
as a symbol and a type of the resurrection, and also as a symbol of the type of the people that he had chosen, put his name on it and put his power on it. Amen. Now come another one. Until they got 11 people, 11 princes walked up to that place and said, "Here, let me see what went on." Nothing happened to the dead rod. There it was. He went up to this man and said, "There it is. There's nothing on it." But wait a minute. He comes out of there with lies. He comes out of there with a rod that budded. He comes out of there with a rod that had almonds on it. And he said, "Let me look on here and see what the name is." And of course, Aaron's name was written on the rod. Now he said, "Aaron, somehow through the course of the night, God himself has chosen this rod, and the man who is in charge of this rod, whose name is on it, who has buds on it, who has activity in it, who has some divine unction, touched that old dead stick during the night." Hallelujah. Then he said, "This is the one that's going to be able to lead the people." Can you just imagine, friends, that we've come to a generation when this religious denominational system is carrying around dead rods, so to speak, thinking they're leading people somewhere. That something has happened in our age. Something is happening in my own personal life. There's a divine activity that's beginning to move among us. And I believe that the name of Jesus is written on the rod and written on the thing that's going to make the difference. Will you say hallelujah tonight? Let's say hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. How many know that the promises of God are yea and amen? How many know tonight that there is miracles in the name of Jesus? How many know tonight that there is power in the name of Jesus? How many know tonight that blinded eyes can be opened in the name of Jesus? How many of you know tonight that power, the power of God in our services, is the most important and the most relevant thing and the most important activity in any of our assemblies across the country? Hallelujah. We do not need to be bearing dead rods and having God to tell us, "Go home, you're not in charge." I'm saying tonight we are seeing the rod dead again. We are seeing a revival of the name of Jesus. Let's say hallelujah tonight. And the rod is budding again. Let's say praise the Lord. Let's say hallelujah. Will you say hallelujah tonight? How many love the name of Jesus? How many love the fact that there's a divine unction and a covering and a moving of God that can touch our lives as we know it before? And we see that the authority here. He said, "I want you to hold this rod up, Aaron, to those rebels. And when they see it, we're going to stop all of this murmuring. We're going to stop all of this complaining. We're going to stop all the problems. All you have to do is hold up that rod that is budded, and it's budding again in our times. There's a new unction and a new covering beginning to move among Pentecostals today. There's a desire to see God move. There's a desire to see spiritual activity. There's a desire to see us exercise our spiritual faculties. Amen. There's a desire to see people really shout again and really worship again and really feel the divine anointing again. Hallelujah. The rod is budding again, because if I didn't believe those that had revelation of his name, hallelujah, was in charge, was the ones that God has designed and anointed to be the leaders in this hour, I'd go home and close the book, never preach another message. But I've come to this generation saying, hallelujah, that Jesus is the mighty God, and he's the everlasting Father. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And he's the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Oh, hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah tonight. Let's say praise the Lord right now. How many believe God's going to do something wonderful in this meeting tonight? How many would like to see that spirit in your soul revived tonight? How many knows what it means, hallelujah, to see and know that God can come into the sick room and visit you there at that moment of sickness? He can come into, oh, hallelujah, he can come into your house where you need help. He can come into a broken home where you need strength. He can come into a young person's life where they need something, hallelujah, that the church has to offer. And if we're carrying around the deadness, and if we're carrying around the ritual, if we're carrying around the program, if we're carrying around all of that, we cannot accomplish the things of the Spirit. But give me a rod that's budding tonight. Give me a rod that has a name on it. Oh, hallelujah. Give me a rod that's filled with power. Oh, hallelujah. you something. Praise the Lord. I know that the Lord's going to do something in these two or three nights of services, because we've come, the rod is budding again. And, hallelujah, the name's on it. And when all of heaven had to know exactly who was going to be the leader, the angels dropped down out of heaven and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It wasn't in the Pharisees. It was not in the deadness of their ritual. It was not in the deadness of the law, but it was in the name, hallelujah. The people that had hold of the budding rod with the almonds on it is the one that was in charge, and the one that could rebuke the powers of darkness, and the one that could set the captive free. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody over here say hallelujah tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. The rod is budding again. They kept us Pentecostals in the little back quarters. They kept us in converted storefronts. They kept us in the corners. They kept us all out of town, so to speak. But I want you to know the rod is budding again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We just shout hallelujah tonight. Wave your hand and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pharisee, take your rod and go home with it. Has no life in it. Sadducee, take yours and go home. And this tribe, take yours and go home. But wait a minute, we've got something against the rebels. You know what the rebels were? The rebels was the opposer. The rebel was the one who was always complaining or rebelling. And he said, when you see another rebel, he said, you just hold up that rod and say, "Let me tell you something, sir, that during the tabernacle last night, there was some divine activity going on. There was an old dead stick called a rod that had some blooms come out on it, and had some blossoms come out on it, and had some fruit come out on it." Amen. People think we've laid dormant for all of these years, that the rod's budding again. There's coming some spiritual fruit. There's coming some divine revelation. There's coming some miracles. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This just takes hold of me to where I can't stand still. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see the Lord. I want to see the Lord move in this house tonight. I want to see. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see God take over this place tonight. Hallelujah. You can go home with a dead stick if you want to, but I'm going home with a live rod. Hallelujah. Glory. And I know, Brother Jimmy, what the name is on the rod. It's J-E-S-U-S. The authority's in the name. Hallelujah. 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 Rebels, we've got the name. Oh, hallelujah. Religious philosophers, we've got the name. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Not too long ago, June the 13th, to be exact, I was invited to go on a retreat with 8 Catholic men. Now, understand me what I'm saying this. And 2 Presbyterians, and 1 United Church of Christ, and me, Jesus' name Pentecostal. They asked me to go on this retreat 75 miles from Cincinnati. This was just a few weeks ago. And they asked me, "Would you please come and tell us about Pentecost?" I never had the opportunity to do anything like that before. I said, "Well, yes, I will." So I didn't know exactly what to expect, but I found out that these men were interested in speaking with other tongues. They were interested in the moving out of the dead rod situation, and they wanted to get into something that had life in it. And they invited me to come 75 miles by Rocky Fork Lake and spend the evening with them. Well, they said, "We don't have any music up there." And I said, "Well, I can play a guitar, or I can play an accordion." And they said, "Well, that'll be fine." One of the gentlemen that sold us some church furniture was there, and that's how I came to get in touch with him. And he said, "We'd just like to have you come and tell us about it." We'll spend the evening in prayer, and we'll read our Bibles, and we will just have a good time. I said, that's fine. I'll be glad to go with you. Well, on that occasion, I took along the accordion, and they brought the songbook. And they had a little made-up songbook, kind of like these. Kind of made up like these are. But I wondered what I was going to do, because I can only play by ear, and I didn't know how to read music. And I thought, now this is going to be a little embarrassing for me if I sit down with these men and they'll turn over here to number three and say, let's sing, O Holy Ghost. Come thou, O Holy Ghost. That's the kind of songs they have in those songbooks. And it was kind of strange to me. And I wondered what I was going to do. And I thumbed through that book and I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble already. How in the world am I going to play these kind of songs? Ave Maria was in there. And you've heard that one. And all these other things was in there. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? They said, can you play that? I said, no, sir, I don't believe I can play that one. Let's turn over here a little further and a little bit further. And finally, oh, this is what I was glad about. They had, what a friend we have in Jesus. I said, I can play that, all right. Amen. Amen. That's a hallelujah tonight. I took that old accordion and I said, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. What a friend. I said, let's sing that again. Don't you be good to sing it again? Amen. We sung it for about 15 minutes. Hallelujah. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you tonight, God is a great God. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I go home in 3 days or not. Some may get going here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Hallelujah. I don't know what may happen because the rod's budding again. Hallelujah. There's a divine activity going on. Not human activity, but divine activity. Moses could have took all the plant food in there he wanted to. Stuck that rod down and set it. Everything that modern invention at that time could have thought of, but it wouldn't sprout a sprout. But let God touch it with his divine finger, and out comes the sprout. Out comes the fruit. Out comes the glory. God, reach down with your finger tonight and touch it. We've tried to make it grow. We've given it plant food. We've done everything mechanical. Now, God, touch it with your power, and let's see a budding rod once more. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The rod's budding again. Oh, aren't you glad you're in something that's touched by a divine hand? I said, well, let's see if we can find another song. Hallelujah. Oh, they had all kind of names in them. But they turned over there and found another and said, it just happened to be, and I said, it was just a closer walk with thee. I said, yes, sir, I can play that one. Let's play that one. I can't play Come, O Holy Ghost, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Ave Maria, and all of that. But I said, I can sure play What a Closer, just a closer walk with thee. I started playing, let's say, just a closer walk with thee. And that's what those men were wanting all the time. Hallelujah. I always said, we're going to turn it over here now to our guest minister that's here. And those men sit around, and they sit there, and they had their Bibles open, and they let me have the floor or the room. Amen. I want you to know, friends, that from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning for 4 hours, I told them about the name of Jesus, baptism in water in his name for the remission of sins, and that when you receive the Holy Ghost, there will be a divine utterance come forth out of your faculties called speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. For 4 hours, handkerchiefs come out of their pockets. Tears begin to fall down their face. I found out before it was over with that the man sitting right there that had invited me up there into a beautiful A-frame building up on the top of a cliff was a millionaire. And here I was coming from down here in Hopkins County, and there I was preaching to a man who was a millionaire. But let me show you something. It didn't make any difference, this monetary thing. I knew I had more wealth than he had. Hallelujah. 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 That's a hallelujah tonight. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter where your birth certificate's in the courthouse. The thing that matters is, oh, hallelujah, is your name recorded in heaven. What matters, hallelujah, where are your treasures? My. And I'm in the process now, after I've talked to them and sung for them and preached to them and shook hands with them and greeted them and everything else, this man that was a millionaire, I found out is a man that's in the construction business in Cincinnati. The man that invited me was a man that sold all the church furniture. The man that was over here was the president of a fiberglass company who could make the baptistry for us. I found out that this man over here was industrial sales. He could get anything we needed. I found out that this other man could add his ideas all to it. And I found a man that could draw the plan for our new church for about 1 or 2%. And you that know anything about that knows what that means. So sitting around in 12 men, I found those men, not that I would get the return, but first let me get the message to them. And they could in turn, there was in those 8 men or 9 men, could build a new church, put the baptistry in it, put the seats in it, put the furniture in it, have enough money and made no telling what before it's over. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, God works on both ends. And I feel him working tonight because the rod's budding again. Oh, the name of Jesus is being revived like never before. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? When they got ready to carry that ark through the wilderness, you know what they put in it? Oh, hallelujah. Let me show you what they put in it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord tonight. I need a chair out here. Let me, you know, I have to sit down sometime. Hallelujah. And sometimes I get so happy I can't sit down. You bear with me just a minute. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. When they got ready, they were going to fix up that Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. And they didn't go out and ask for the man that had the death rod to put it in there. They didn't go out to the company and the group that went home that night and said, well, nothing happened. He had to come back and tell his folks and say, folks, this is a sad scene. Nothing. The rod we laid up last night wasn't touched. Nothing but deadness in it. And you know, I'm quite concerned in one sense of the word that there isn't getting to be a little bit too much deadness in a lot of our churches around the country. Amen. I say that with respect tonight, but I think you know what I mean. A little bit too much deadness. I know some places where they've taken clapping hands out of the church. I know some places where they don't want you to shout the victory anymore. Among Pentecostals, mind you. Hallelujah. But I know where I was born. I know what I was born in. Amen. I was born in the flame. I was born in the shout. I was born in the hand clapping. Hallelujah. I was born where people felt their liberty to worship the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not about to give it up now. The Lord's burning. Oh, yes. I'm not about to give it up now. Oh, hallelujah. I know where my sins were remitted over at the Blue Hall just across the bridge. I know where I got the Holy Ghost on the sawdust floor in Dawson Springs. I want to tell you the rod is still doing. Oh, hallelujah. Hooray. And I'm not about to take the shouting out of the church. You have nothing but a dead ritual. Hallelujah. 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 I said in that room over there, it felt like the curtains wiggled in that room where I was praying. Oh, hallelujah. It might have been the air conditioner, but it could have sure been something else. Hallelujah. Because I wanted a new touch on my own ministry. I caught myself trying to get ritualistic. Caught myself trying to say, well, look at this big audience tonight. Out here, we're going to have to do something to appeal to people. And I caught myself just kind of
winding up like a robot. That's a good while ago. So mechanical. Honestly tonight, we don't watch, we're getting so mechanical. Song or two, a little prayer, a little mumbling of a request, a little lifting of the hand that really's gone up in ritual. We lift our hands so many times for unspoken requests, we just go up, we don't even know what we're thinking about. Amen. Help me now. Hallelujah. Help me. Hallelujah. And we've wound ourselves up just like that. Oh Lord, help me tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh glory. But when the mechanics run out, you run out with it. If it's mechanical, it'd just be like a robot. We've got folks at home that's just like that. They come right into the same place, shake hands with the same person, sit down on the same seat, reach for the same songbook, sing the same song, get up, go out the same way, get in the same car, drive to the same house, and never even know they've been in the house of God. Amen! But we got to get a rod, the bud. We've got to get some activity in the church. Hallelujah! We've got to get a divine finger to touch our soul and light our flame again and burn us one more time. Till we have stopped those mechanics in religion. And I said, God, if I ever needed a new touch, Brother Jimmy, I need it now. We can't come to this generation with a dead rod. And when they got ready to put it in there, amen, they never asked for that deadness. They said, well, wait a minute, we've got to put some things in that Ark of the Covenant because our posterity, our children coming along behind us, is going to have to know what happened. They're just going to have to know it. So Moses said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's bring Aaron's rod that budded. And it's going to be a testimony all the way through the journey. We're going to place it in the ark. Now then he said, let's get a pot of manna. Amen. This is divine things I'm talking about. Let's get us a pot of manna. And I want you to know that it wasn't just a little manna that fell in Israel. It was a lot of manna. Each man had an omer per day. An omer was 6 pints. I told you about this before. And a pint weighs a pound. So if there was 2 million people approximately in Israel at that time, that meant there was approximately 12 million pounds of manna that fell every morning in Israel. And it was fresh every morning. I want you to know that every baker in town didn't have his hands in that dough. Amen. I said every baker, if there's any bakers here tonight, please help me. I'm talking about a you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the man that cooks. But this bread was made with angels' hands. It was mixed in heaven's ingredients. There was enough mixture in this manna that that's all they needed. The vitamins, the nutrients, the minerals, and the iron, and all the rest. And every day they ate that manna, 12 million pounds of it, enough to fill 4 trains, 60 boxcars long. Fell every morning in Israel. What a miracle. Now he said, let's bring a pot full of that and set it in here along with this rod that budded. Oh, hallelujah. Now we can't forget something that's most important. I'm going to close in a minute if I can get stopped. Hallelujah. We're going to have to bring the law in. We're going to have to bring the book of God in. And we're going to have to put it in there with it. Open the top of it, brother, so we can put it down in there. Amen. Set it over there. That's right. Now we got the rod, and we've got the manna, and we got the law. Oh, hallelujah. Every scribe in town hadn't fooled with the writing of that law either. It was written by the finger of God. Every man in town didn't put his plant food at the florist and bring out a rod that budded. It was all a divine touch. And you know what? There's so many people that's trying to read the second chapter of Acts out of the Bible, it's not even funny. They're trying to read it out. They're trying to say it really isn't in there. Pentecost really didn't happen. But it was a divinely inspired thing. Oh, hallelujah. Now, what are we going to do with it? Right up above it, of course, was the gold and the mercy seat and the cherubims up over above that. And a rod that budded and manna and a law. Now, he said, when you get ready to cross over Jordan, I want you to know that the God that served you when you needed help in the budding of the rod, and when you needed help in being fed, when you needed help in guidance, just set that out in front of you, and you priests that's carrying that thing in front of you, just step out. Hallelujah. As Brother David said tonight, we need a revival of faith, a revival of the move of God. Step out and Jordan will open wide for you. Because the same God that moved in these miraculous happenings, it's the same God that's working in this generation with the budding of the rod, with the moving of the Spirit, with a divine outpouring. And the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood has not given this revelation to you, but this has come from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can almost see Elijah as he ascended into the heavens, and Elisha was standing there waiting for the mantle to fall. Hallelujah. There was a time that the river was bigger than Elisha. But there was another time that Elisha was bigger than the river. He came back with something from heaven, and he beat Jordan all to pieces. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he just beat Jordan all to pieces. He had to back up out of the way. And you know what, tonight there's a lot of people in this audience whose problems are bigger than you are. Whose overwhelming problems is so big that you don't know what to do. There's a mixture of all kinds of representatives here tonight of the human family. But I want you to know you can leave here bigger than your problem tonight. You can leave here, hallelujah, not letting the river being bigger than you are, but you can be bigger than the river. Because you've got a God that gave manna. You're in a church where the rod is budding. You're in a place where the power of God is falling and where the Spirit of the Lord is moving. And we must have a new retouch and a rebaptism of that fire if we expect to make it through this generation. Let's stand tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. How many believe the rod's budding again? How many believe Pentecost is real today? How many want to see an outpouring in this youth conference tonight that'll stir our souls? How many want to get out of the mechanics of worship and get into the spirit of the thing? Oh, hallelujah. Sister Good, I see you sitting right down there tonight. Praise God, the same thing when I held that first little meeting over in the cross of the road in a little converted filling station. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The same God that moved over there. Oh, bless the Lord. And the schoolhouse over here and the fields out yonder and the stumps over there. The same God that gave us the rod in the beginning, Brother Monroe, is the same God that's real tonight in Madisonville, Kentucky. Hallelujah. And I'm not about to wind it up like a robot and turn it loose. I'm saying let the Holy Ghost move in this conference, in this convention, in this place of worship, until there's a new utterance of divine flame come up through these faculties. And the Lord laid it on my heart to tell you tonight that I believe that everybody in this room that has been filled with the Holy Ghost needs to be refilled to the extent that there's a new utterance, a new speaking with other tongues. Now, I'm not one to say that you have to speak with tongues every time to prove that you have the Holy Ghost. Don't misunderstand me. But I am saying one thing tonight. Hallelujah. And I believe we all need it. We all need a new touch. We all need not to go home with a dead rod. We don't need a dead operation. Oh, hallelujah. But the name is on the rod. The name is in the manna. And the name is in the word. And Jesus is that name. that has lasted across the ages, moved mountains, tore down hills, swept out valleys, cleansed lepers, opened blinded eyes, caused lame men to leap and walk, caused a leper's man to be made whole all of a sudden. And unless we do that, we will have a mechanical youth convention, and it'll be over the latter part of the week, and we'll wonder what happened after about 2 weeks has gone by. Brethren, I want to see us have the kind of meetings these next few nights that'll be spoken of for months to come, until it'll spread, Brother Cunningham, right out into our churches all around, and a new flame and a new touch of heaven will move men's souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something in this church they really need. Amen? There's something in this church they really need. God bless you tonight. You've been a wonderful audience. Tomorrow night, be here. I have a message burning in my soul tomorrow night that I want to preach to you. I almost preached it tonight, but I want to preach it tomorrow night. If I don't finish tomorrow night, I'll finish it the next night. Hallelujah. I've got some preaching to do while I'm here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And I've got a wonderful audience to come and help me preach it. Be here tomorrow night in the service. But right now, I'm asking every child of God to make your way up around the front, the first part of this meeting tonight, and say to yourself, Lord, am I really in it like you want me to be? Young person, may I say this? Are you going to your Bible classes? Are you going to your prayer meetings? Are you being faithful to your church? Are you supporting the work of the Lord wherever you may be? Are you lifting up the name of Jesus, or is it just a weekend Sunday school thing? Until there's a new bud, a new move, we cannot lead without a touch of the written hand of God upon the rod. While we sing tonight, will you sing tonight? Let's worship the Lord. Sing something. Honor the name of Jesus. And I'm just going to ask as many in the congregation, you've been a patient audience tonight, I hope I haven't held you too long, but let's gather in tonight and ask the Lord to make this such a meeting that we can be the leaders in this generation and not the followers. The leaders and not the followers. Amen. Praise